Inside My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa.
Make sure you're present and accounted for. We're reaching back into the past to salvage and rediscover rock and relics for fun, modern projects.
This Old House magazine editor and author of Salvage Style Projects, Amy Hughes, talks retooling salvage yard saves with modern style.
What's old is new again. Reinvention happens right now.
On My Fix It Up Life. Want to turn a kitchen or bath from drab to fab? Pilot yourself with Bondera.
If you can paint or wallpaper, you can put in beautiful new tile yourself using Bondera.
Bondera makes tiling faster, easier, and cleaner than using mortar or mastic.
It's an advanced, pressure-sensitive adhesive on a roll
that repels water, is mold-resistant, and environmentally friendly.
Saving time and money is beautiful with Bondera Tile Mat Set.
Visit BonderaTileMatSet.com for more information.
Or grab a roll at Lowe's today.
Walls before you paint? Do it the hard way, not the hard way, with Hyde's dust-free sander. Attach to your wet dry vac and go. No drywall dust on your furniture, no tough cleanup when you're done. Buy online at Amazon.com.
The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clemens. 2 years after his father's death, Brendan is staring down the barrel of a divorce. He leaves his daughters in collapsing marriage to fulfill a promise his father made to his mother, and he discovers the answers he wasn't looking for that end up helping him with his own life.
I reach for my tape more like a gunslinger going for a six-shooter rather than a timid, albeit middle-aged, apprentice afraid to do the wrong thing.
Dean Johnson, co-host of Home Time, says home improvement is a thread that runs through many of our lives. Mark has woven it into a very rich and unique story. Brett Witter, publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, says a wonderful book about building both houses and relationships that is wise, touching, and as satisfying as a hard day's work well done. Like Chicken Soup for the Soul, it shows us that great wisdom is built from the material of everyday life. Check out The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at bookstores nationwide.
Ba 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 da ju ah ba 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 da ju ah ba 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 da ju ah ba 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 da ju ah ba 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 da ju ah ba 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 da ju ah ba.
And you are inside my Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa. And you're inside our fun Fix It Up Fine section of the show.
It's Fix It Up Fine time, and I've got a find for you.
What'd you find this week, Teresa? Please
well, you know, this show is all about, you know, salvaging things and reuse and everything. So I've got something that I don't think you would ever think about as a reuse for something.
You know what? I bet you're right.
Okay, so sit down if you're standing up and stand up if you're sitting down. So my find is this product called Shea Green.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what this is, because what it is it's made from stingrays. What do you think somebody made something out of stingrays?
You know what? You're just past my marine biology degree, so I got nothing for you.
Tile. Wall tile from Ann Sachs. You can buy wall tile that was made from stingrays.
Okay.
Doesn't that blow your mind?
To the point where I either have 100 questions or no questions, and I can't figure out which way to go.
Well, and you know, Ann Sachs is a Kohler company.
Mm-hmm.
We love Kohler. And Ann Sachs has gorgeous tile. And the thing about it is that they... The stingray has a very unique touch to it,
mm-hmm.
And the price for the tile, per square foot, mind you, $350.
Easy. No problem. I can tile my bathroom with one tile.
With one tile.
One tile, yeah.
It's very small. It's like a Barbie bathroom.
The rest will be subfloor, but I get that one tile.
Well, and the tiles measure 8 by 10 inches, 5 by 8 inches, and 4 by 5 inches. So if you are in the market for a very luxurious bathroom or kitchen or wherever you want to celebrate stingrayness, it's kind of cool. And it does have a super cool touch, too.
I believe
what I've been reading about.
Well, I've never done
I don't think we can afford the $350 tile, but from what I've read from a lot of people who have seen it and reviewed it,
right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Right. Well, very cool. And what you see at these various vacations and so forth, I see commercials for because I'm not at them. You can go swimming with stingrays, and you touch them, and that's like one of the big features of the whole thing.
So you can bring that back into your own bathroom.
That's right.
Pair of Ansacks. So
there you go,
what
Ansacks.
Are your finds?
Well, this one is a way to salvage time heretofore wasted in deck building and fence building projects.
Okay.
And it is a newish way to fasten your guardrail posts to the band joist of the deck. Now, if you've never built a deck before, it's a process where you have to drill holes, hold the post, plumb things up. It's complicated and it's really hard on tools. But FastenMaster's through-lock bolts meet the new building code where you have to have 200 pounds of lateral force before the fastener gives way or the deck collapses, deck breaks down. And the thing is, you can zap them in with a cordless impact driver. Super fast, super easy. They even look good because they have a washer head on them.
And for everybody listening, that might be over your head a little bit if you're not a pro or a prosumer in the whole construction industry. What it means is that it helps to make sure your deck is safe, and it makes the contractor's job easier.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Much faster, much easier, attractive, great solution for decks and some fences and all kinds of other stuff.
That's super cool.
FastenMaster.com, and the product is called ThruLock. That's ThruLok.
Well, I have something that kind of goes with the deck in the way that if it's finished and it's built right and you're having a party, because one thing that I really like is to use cotton napkins, the ones that you can machine wash. When you go to a restaurant and you put, like, you know, a linen or a cotton napkin, like a real napkin in your lap, and you use it, I just feel just calm and happy, and I appreciate the effort that the restaurants go to do all the laundry for
sure.
them, you know.
Yeah.
But it just makes you feel good. So at home, I go to the trouble sometimes of using napkins like that, but the rest of my family uses the disposable kind. Well, here's a really cool solution to that, and it's really great for a party, too, because Anthropologie, and we love Anthropologie.
You love that place.
They have napkins, cotton napkins, that dispense like a paper towel.
So it's on a
roll. So it's great for a party. See, instead of having to fold all of the pretty napkins up and everything, it comes off like a roll, just like a paper towel roll.
Okay.
They're all wrapped up in together.
Okay, how do you put them back?
Well, you have to then put them all back, but for the party, it's lovely.
Super cool.
Very super cool. So that's Anthropologie.
I love that, and that's very refined, and I appreciate that when I go to a party or a restaurant as well.
Yes, but I don't see you going to the trouble of it.
No, I wouldn't go to the trouble of it. It's just not something that's on my radar, but the difference between going to a pub and grabbing some pre-rolled cheap napkin thing that you need 50 of.
Yes.
Versus sitting down with a nice linen napkin at, say, a McCormick and Schmick or a nice place.
Like our home.
Like our home.
Where I use them.
Where I'm grabbing 50,000 paper towels for Jack. Clean it up. I need it cleaned up.
Yes. So I want to know, in the minute or so we have left, what is another find that you can share with all of us that's going to make our lives easier, better, safer, more wonderful?
You can't make this up. This is like a napkin for your floor.
Napkin? Like a rug?
Can't make it up. No. It's for demolition and for high traffic areas in a remodeling project. So, like our house, if you have to tear down plaster, or if you're doing a big project like a kitchen replacement and you're walking in and out of a customer's house 1,000 times, or your own house, this product is called Ramboard. And it's essentially, I'm way oversimplifying it, like paperboard on a roll. Very stiff paper. You unroll it. It's about 3.5 feet wide. You tape it to the floor. It's waterproof, it's impact resistant, so you can drop stuff on it. So if you're a contractor and you're looking for something to make it easy to go in and out of your customer's house, then this is a great, great thing, and it's reusable.
Well, and the thing that, you know, even if you're not a contractor, if you're moving into a new house or moving out of your house, and you want to protect your floor, because moving moving is such a huge thing, you know, moving into a new apartment or, you know, moving out of something. And this is a huge time of year for a lot of college students who are moving into their apartment.
And it only takes one rock in your shoe and all that other stuff. So it's ramboard.com.
And we have to go to break, and we'll be back in just a minute with more My Fix It Up Life.
But I am so overexcited to see you now. Shut up! Oh, everyone must leave, eh? Everyone must go. Drop me off! Drop me off! Drop me off!
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with Therma-True fiberglass doors and Fipon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting Therma-True.com and Fipon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
Hey, Teresa, have you noticed our energy bills have been lower the past several years?
Absolutely. Ever since we replaced our drafty old windows with energy-efficient Simon and vinyl windows, our bills have definitely gone down. And I've noticed it's more comfortable in our home, too.
You know, selecting the right windows for your home does matter. If you're considering a window replacement project, check out Simonton Windows. These award-winning premium vinyl windows are custom-made for your home.
To learn more, visit Simonton.com today. And you are inside My Fix It Up Life with My Fix It Up husband, Mark.
And my fixed-up, beautiful, architecturally relevant wife, Teresa.
Architecturally relevant?
That's right.
So I, like, fit in with our home and with you and stuff?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, it's not random how you put yourself together. It's form, it's function, it's the whole thing.
I guess that's a compliment. That's
yeah.
An odd compliment.
Well, you got to know about super architecture stuff like me to understand that.
You're a super architecture stuff?
That's right.
Okay.
That's an actual title.
I think I would rather talk to our guest, Amy Hughes, right now from This Old House. How are you doing, Amy?
I'm great, and I'm so glad you both are so architecturally coordinated. I wish my husband and I could be so coordinated.
Well,
I'm the only one in my house who cares about such things.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Well, you know, and actually, I think it's kind of wonderful because we don't – I think we actually have projects that get done because he doesn't really have a really strong opinion about things. He just likes what I do. And I think that that's a very important thing in a marriage and sometimes, you know, and that some people feel strongly about some things. And he has his stuff and I have mine. And, you know, we don't ever get to an impasse. You know, we can start a project and finish a project and both be happy. And, you know, there isn't that negotiation.
Well, we have a lot of
which
that.
Which I kind of like. I think some couples, you know, send the other one away, you know, on a weekend trip with family or something, and then they surprise them with a project. But I think that surprise is really about getting a project done the way they want to get done while the other one's away.
I think that might be true. Because I know that when my husband travels, I get a lot more done because we aren't doing all that negotiation back and forth.
Yeah. No, I think if it can be wonderful doing projects together, but I like to do projects with friends who are a little more like-minded.
Oh, so. I like that.
That is really cool. Well, tell us about one.
Well, sure. So one of the things that, you know, one of the kind of things I'm most excited about right now is I have a new book called Salvage Style Projects, and that's out through This Old House. And what I did, this is something I've been working on for 7 or 8 years and been following Salvage for over a decade, actually. But this is, you know, it's sort of a culmination of a ton of projects that I've built on my own and also with coworkers and with friends, using old house parts. So things that I find at salvage yards, like an old door or a piece of a column or a fence section, like a piece of cast iron or wrought iron. And what I do is I try to take these sort of forlorn pieces and turn them into something really useful and kind of creative. So,
well, and I...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, and like the old shoe trolley you have as your baker's rack, I saw.
We'll see. You know, that I love those projects because I don't actually have to do anything but clean them up. Finding them can be the hard part. I mean, actually, in that case, it was more like just convincing my father to give it to me because that's something that he had had, and it was just my favorite thing. When they moved, he gave it to me.
Now, how many times have your parents moved? Because I read that you moved 12 times before you were 18 years old. Are they still in the process of that?
It sounds like I'm some kind of latchkey kid, and I guess in some ways I was. My parents were divorced when I was really young, and I moved around a lot with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just because she was, you know, corporate executive. She was in telecom, but she also used to buy old houses and redo them. So we used to live, this was back in the day before, we had more liberal capital gains tax laws. So we would buy, she and my stepdad would buy these old houses and redo them on the weekends. And then we'd live in them for 2 years and then sell them. And so I moved, every 2 years as a kid. I mean, often I'd stay in the same school district, but often not. I mean, we would move state in some cases. So I never really got that attached to any place. But I definitely, as a kid, I kind of hated it because I just thought, well, you know, I don't want to move, you know, and I would, like, stop unpacking my back boxes because I just knew I'd have to pack them again in 2 years. So I'd just throw a tablecloth over a box and put a lamp on it and, you know, call it decor, you know. But I somehow picked up the bug, you know, and I ended up really kind of following that path as a career.
That is so cool because, like, it's sort of in your nature to be able to walk through the salvage yards and being able to look at, you know, the treasures that are there and not look at it like trash, like a lot of people kind of think about it as, think about it in a creative way, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's my mother really was into that. And, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, part of, you know, she and my stepdad would buy these really old houses that no one cared about. I mean, this was in the 80s when people really, I think there wasn't, you know, it was sort of the beginnings, you know, late 70s, early 80s, you know, the beginnings of the preservation movement and kind of after we lost Penn Station and, you know, people were just starting to think about it. And my mom was, sort of an ardent preservationist, just as a hobby. But, I grew up in junkyards. I mean, they weren't even called salvage yards at that time. We would also go into old houses before they were going to be demolished. And, you know, one of my favorite memories is actually breaking into a house that was about to be demolished. And this is, you know, I don't think we can get in trouble anymore.
Yeah, the statute of limitations is up on that.
You know, it was this beautiful house, and I had lived in suburban New Jersey, and it was about to be torn down, and my mom, I think, knew the contractor, and he said, you know, go ahead, get in, but of course, you know, he didn't meet us there, and we ended up climbing through a window and just kind of exploring the house. We didn't take anything, but part of the house had been damaged by fire, and you know, I still to this day think about this one room that was locked, and we didn't have a key, and we couldn't get in. And it's like there were beautiful things in this house. I mean, incredible carved newel posts and railings, and a beautiful pier mirror, which is something I recreated myself years later. And but there was this locked room, and you know, my mom told me the story. It was the conservatory, you know, the music room. And I still to this day think about, you know, what was in there and what we missed, you know. And you know, I think ever since then I've just been so interested in these old house parts and trying to save them and trying to find, you know, uses for them that kind of work with my lifestyle. I have a family and Yes, I make things into furniture that I can really use.
Wow.
But also to preserve this stuff.
How does that translate into what you're working on in the forthcoming issue of the This Old House magazine?
Well, so this issue of our July issue is our annual reader created issue. So this is where, you know, our readers and users of our website and fans of the TV show, they basically get on the website on thisoldhouse.com and they submit their projects. And we judge, you know, their DIY projects, and, you know, we come up with a winner. And so that's like we have a whole house winner and a bunch of one room wonders, I guess I'd call them, you know, and these are people who maybe redo a kitchen or something. But there's also some of our regular department columns in the magazine. So, and one of those is called Salvage Style, and this is the column that I produce every month or every other month. And so that one, you know, it's first person. It's one of the only first person columns we have in the magazine. And so what I was able to do with that is I had actually found this old, I believe it was an armoire door. It could have been maybe from built-in cupboard or something, but I think it was an armoire, and I had found it on the street in my neighborhood. And one of my neighbors was literally the super in this building, was actually bringing it out and was about to put it down on the sidewalk, and I just grabbed it. And I, you know, I said, if that's going in the trash, I'd rather take it home with me now.
Nice.
You know, before it sits there too long or the dogs come on their daily walk. So I rescued this door from the trash. I brought it home, and then I was thinking, you know, what am I going to do with this thing? And so I put it up on Facebook, and I created a salvage fan page after the book came out.
And what's the page?
It's Salvage Style Projects, and so Salvage Style is hyphenated. So if you just go on Facebook and search Salvage Style Projects, it should come right up.
Cool.
And you can also find it, I think, through the This Old House Facebook page as well. But Salvage Style Projects should give you a direct link to it. And so what I did is I just took a picture of the door, and I posted it on Facebook. And I just said, what would you guys do with this? And I got flooded with responses. I mean, I don't normally get, you know, I think it was over between This Old House and then we reposted it. I'm sorry, Salvage Style Projects, and then we reposted it on This Old House Facebook page. And then I think it got some one of our readers reposted it somewhere else. And I got over 100, probably a lot more, from some other places like My Home Ideas, where it also went up. Of responses from people saying what to do with it. So what I did is I just kind of went through in a real, like, you know, non-scientific but, you know, fair way and counted up the number. And whoever, you know, a lot of people said the same thing. And, you know, everyone, the overwhelming response was make a table, which, you know, to me, having done this for many, many years, I thought, you know, well, maybe that's not, like, the most creative reuse, but I actually really need a table right now. So I, you know, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty simple project. And sometimes, you know, when you're doing this kind of work all the time, you forget that, you know, that people, you know, that what I might think is like a simple project is like, or too easy, is like the perfect thing for someone who's just starting with salvage.
Mm.
And, you know, and I think it's easy to understand, and it's easy to put together, and it's incredibly useful. So, you know, I said, all right, well, you know, I have a 3-year-old, and I had a glass table that I had gotten rid of because, you know, I was really afraid she was going to bonk her head on it. And I had gone, you know, 3 years without a coffee table. So I thought, all right, you know what, this is the winning one, so I'm going to make it. I'm going to follow their suggestion, and so I was able to produce that for our reader-created issue and actually do it completely based on suggestions from people through social media. So it was kind of a nice mixture for us to be able to, you know, take something that originally started with this book and then create the fan page out of that book and then take some ideas from the fan page and then put it onto the magazine page.
So people can check out what you created in the July issue of This Old House magazine.
Yes, they can. So the it's a coffee table that I created out of this armoire door, and it's on page 57.
Oh, page 57. That's awesome.
And it's good for three-year-olds to be around as well.
It is. There's like, you know, I mean, I pulled this thing out of the trash, and I cleaned it, and I sanded it, and I, you know, I waxed it. But, I mean, what damage can one do, you know, to something that's pulled out of the trash, you know? It's like, I guess part of the reason I really love, you know, working with these old pieces because, you know, I like to celebrate their flaws, you know, and highlight the flaws in a lot of cases because it's character. And, you know, and it really makes for easy living. I mean, there's nothing so precious that I can't, you know, my three-year-old can't doodle, you know, on paper, of course, on the coffee table. I don't mind. And if the crayon marks go over, no big deal. You know, a little bit of sandpaper
awesome.
Or a little steel wool, take that right out and put a little beeswax on top and it's finished.
Well, what my grandmother used to say is those are little love marks and that you'll treasure them later on in life.
I thoroughly agree.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I don't get mad about that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a family house. You know, we keep a nice house and it's really clean for, you know, having a toddler, I think. But, you know, but I liked her to be able to use it. I mean, she jumps up on that thing and uses it as a stage sometimes, you know.
Well, of course. She's a 3-year-old girl.
Exactly.
Well, so people can connect with you at Salvage Style Projects on Facebook. And they can also connect with you, too. You're at IKEAs around the country.
I am, yeah. So this is, like, something completely different. So I, you know, I've been doing this with two different coworkers. So far, where this is my second year, and about 15 weekends a year, I'm on the road in IKEA stores around the country in their kitchen cookshops, leading you know kitchen design workshops of sorts. So teaching people how to you know sort of start at the very beginning, like how to envision what they want for their new kitchen. And then all the way getting into some installation tips and stuff. But now we've kind of gotten it down to about an hour-long seminar, and it's part of IKEA's life improvement projects. So you could go on IKEA's website or just Google life improvement seminar or life improvement project, and, you know, your listeners can find, it's not just me, there are other magazines who are doing it as well. But yeah, the kitchen workshop has been really fun, and you know we often get anywhere from, you know, 20 to 45, 50 people, and we sit down and walk them through the whole process, like you know how to create a wish list and you know what countertop to choose that sort of fits the way you cook and your lifestyle and your level of you know I guess. Ability to clean or desire to clean. and, you know, we talk about cabinet door styles and everything. So that's been a lot of fun. And, you know, we're actually coming to the end of the second year. And the next two, I have a date coming up in Chicago with one of my coworkers, Alex Bandon, here at This Old House Magazine. And then I have one coming up in Stoughton, Mass. With Kevin O'Connor, who you all know from the This Old House television program.
Oh, that's super cool. That would be a fun one. And Kevin really knows what's going on. As much as I want to take this opportunity to, as I always do when his name comes up, throw him immediately under the bus, Kevin is really a real dealer, and he loves what he's doing. So that is also captivating.
And he's such a nice guy. You don't really want to throw him under the bus.
I can't admit to that.
They're constantly making fun of each other. I think it's one of those, like, you know, man-brother kind of feelings that you can do with each other.
Well, it's not fun that we have to...
Oh, take a break.
Take a break.
So definitely go out to Facebook and check out Salvage-Style Projects and follow This Old House on Twitter, @ThisOldHouse. Go on thisoldhouse.com and check out the July issue.
And we'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roof. Hardscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
Ain't no job that's too small. A change of bulb and a patch of wall. If it's loose, I'll make it tight. That's right.
And you are back inside My Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And we're talking easy fixes for toddler mischief, reusing, as it were, stuff from around the house to fix little problems that kids create in using these products in ways you wouldn't normally think of.
Yeah, unusual uses for common household things is one of my favorite things to talk about and to share because, you know, you go out and you spend a lot of money on like super products at the grocery store, the drugstore, wherever you're going to shop, where you can actually just use stuff that's already in your house to clean things. And one of my favorite things is toothpaste. Toothpaste can not only clean like your grout in your tile and everything because of the abrasive in it, it can also get crayon off the wall.
Which is super hard to clean up, as any parent knows. And we know because Jack is in his red period right now.
Yeah, and he marked all over his 11-year-old sister's wall, and she's very unhappy about it. So I told her to take some toothpaste and to scrub her wall, and she was so excited and surprised that it actually worked. I also had her try out something else that works on crayon on the wall, and that's mayonnaise. And what it is that the oil in the mayo actually breaks down the wax in the crayon. It takes a little bit more elbow grease to get the mayo to work on the crayon, and you have to let it set for a little bit. But if you think about you have a lot of crayon on the wall, ounce for ounce, it's probably less expensive to invest in a jar of mayo than it is to buy all the toothpaste that you would need to clean up a really big artwork on your wall.
Artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, our 11-year-old Lexi also has her own version of artwork with something a little more indelible, which is a Sharpie marker, which she's fond of forgetting that bleeds through paper.
You know, parents, you know, I am just like you, where I say you have to put something under that when you're writing because it'll leave an imprint or it'll leave a mark, and she was marking up one of her books at school, and she marked up the book, it had book sock on it, while the book was in the book sock. And then her teacher helped her out and used a dry erase marker to actually get the mark off. Okay, it wasn't even a few weeks later, she was here at home, and she was actually making a present for Mark for Father's Day. And the funniest thing in the whole world is that she was using tissue paper and writing on the tissue paper with a Sharpie marker. And you think it bleeds through? It does. But she was actually using Mark's desk. So she marked up Mark's desk, trying to make him a present for Father's Day. And we didn't have a dry erase marker, but we checked out online, and you can actually use a white eraser to erase the mark off of a nice smooth surface like a desk or a countertop.
Right, exactly. And for other surfaces that it gets on, you can also use like a body spray, like an Axe body spray, or you can use the eraser spray from dry erase markers, which will also break down the propanol and butanol and diacetone alcohols that Sharpie marker ink is made of.
Well, and just remember, too, to always use those kinds of sprays on an inconspicuous part of your furniture because it can react badly. You know, it's not always something that will work 100% of the time, and we don't want your furniture to look really bad. And that those kinds of sprays can't work on walls or on unpolished wood or on paper. So you want to use a really slick, smooth surface for those.
Totally, totally. Well, there's also something that we enjoy as parents.
Oh, I love cleaning up this mess. We'd love to clean up pee-pee because we are in the process of potty training at our house. And our little Jack makes pee-pee messes all over the place. And that's just part of potty training. And, you know, it's the same thing that happens with dogs, too. And with, you know, if you have cats and little kittens and you're trying to teach them how to use litter box, it happens. They pee-pee on the floor.
Yep.
Well, to get that smell up and to get the clean up, there's a series of things that you can do, and all of these products most people have in their house. And the first one is baking soda. So if it's a fresh pee-pee, then you want to pour some baking soda on it.
Yeah, liberally all over the top of the wetness, and it will help absorb that wetness into the baking powder, baking soda. It's sort of like mechanics do this in shops when they spill grease and oil. They pour a product down that absorbs it. Then you can pick up the granular item. In this case, especially if it's on a carpet, you want to use like a 5-in-1 tool or something and scrape that up so that you don't mash it into the carpet once it's dried and absorbed the pee.
Yeah, and if you don't, if it's not a smooth carpet surface, you can use a vacuum to vacuum up the extra stuff too.
Well, yeah, overall, I think using a wet dry vac would be the easiest. Just drag it out of the shop and get there.
Well, for most people that have a wet dry vac.
Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
And then, you know, if it doesn't actually get all the pee-pee up and if it's been a stain that's been there for a long time and you just didn't know what to do with it, there's actually, you use a bunch of these products together and bear with us. We'll have information up on our website. So you can go check it out at myfixituplife.com. But the first thing you want to do is mix a 50-50 solution of white vinegar and water. You pour it over the mess in your carpet. And then you use a scrub brush to scrub it all the way into your carpet. And you pour it all the way in, and don't be shy about pouring it because the pee-pee probably not only got your carpet, but also the carpet pad underneath. You want to make sure this gets all the way down to as far as the pee-pee got, too. And so the next thing you want to do is after you do the scrub brush is you blot the area with the paper towel. And then, you know, hopefully that helps. But if it doesn't, you can also then go back to the first thing that we were talking about, which is sprinkling some baking soda over that stain mark.
Right.
And then with the baking soda there, so don't do anything with it, you want to mix a cup of hydrogen peroxide, 3% hydrogen peroxide, with a teaspoon of dish detergent. And I always say you want to use
dish soap, not dish detergent like that would go in your dishwasher.
Yes.
Those are different. Dish soap.
Yeah. Well, dish.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dish soap.
So you want to mix a half a cup of 3% hydrogen peroxide with a teaspoon of dish soap. And I always say you want to use something that's light in color because some dish soaps have like a green or a blue look to them. And in case there's any dyes in there that might react with your furnishings, your carpet, you just stay away from that. And so you pour that over top of the baking soda.
Yep, and that's going to draw all that stuff down into the carpet fibers and get right on top of the backing of the carpet. So it's going to go to work on the stains and it's going to go to work on the odors.
Exactly. And then you'll want to do the same thing as, you know, mix it into the carpet with your fingers or with a brush or something like that. And then when that's all dry, you want to vacuum it up. And then hopefully that pee-pee is gone and the smell is gone. And it really, really does work. Trust us, guys.
And finally, ow, I just got bitten by a mosquito.
You did? Well,
yeah.
You're the one that always gets bit by mosquitoes. And
swarm around
with
me.
With the extra warm summer, you know, without having a really cold winter, there's more mosquitoes out than ever. And a little thing that I always like to do that my mom taught me when I was a little girl is to use non-gel toothpaste on the mosquito bite. It really does take the itch out. And what happens is it cools it off a little bit, and then it kind of, like, it'll crust over. And just let it crust over, and then it'll flake off. And once it's starting to flake off, you know that that's worked. And it'll make it feel so much better.
Well,
and we have to go to break.
We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Cork a tub, stop a leak. I can do anything you need. Yes, ma'am. I'm your fix it man. Oh, day or night, rain or shine. I can come when you call. If there's any kind of trouble, it's no trouble at all. I'll be there on the double with the right tools and a two strong hand. Well, if it's stuck, I can twist it. If it's heavy, I can lift it. I'm your man.
Got a home improvement headache?
Here's a quick tip from My Fix It Up Life on working with your spouse.
You can keep your relationship strong while you fix up your home.
Create a sensible budget together.
Be mindful of each other's time.
Get ready for dust and mess.
Compliment your spouse about their strengths before offering advice.
Plan, plan, plan.
And don't forget to smile.
For more quick tips, tune in to the My Fix It Up Life show Saturdays at 10 a.m. on 1520 a.m. WCHE.
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with ThermaTrue fiberglass doors and Fipon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting ThermaTrue.com and Fipon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
Got paint prep? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's 14-in-1 multi-tool. It scrapes paint, spreads spackle, sets nails, it even cleans rollers. It screws and unscrews just about anything. There's even a bottle opener. Buy it online at Amazon.com.
The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement. 2 years after his father's death, Brendan is staring down the barrel of a divorce. He leaves his daughters in collapsing marriage to fulfill a promise his father made to his mother, and he discovers the answers he wasn't looking for that end up helping him with his own life.
I reach for my tape more like a gunslinger going for a six-shooter rather than a timid, albeit middle-aged, apprentice afraid to do the wrong thing.
Dean Johnson, co-host of Home Time, says home improvement is a thread that runs through many of our lives. Mark has woven it into a very rich and unique story. Brett Witter, publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, says a wonderful book about building both houses and relationships that is wise, touching, and as satisfying as a hard day's work well done. Like Chicken Soup for the Soul, it shows us that great wisdom is built from the material of everyday life. Check out The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at bookstores nationwide.
You might be just a pretty face looking back at me. You might be an idle conversation piece. You might be another wasted memory tonight. I'd like to wait and see.
And you are back inside My Fix It Up Life, and we are at the end of our show.
And
don't forget, we want to hear from you guys. So send us your questions, because we want to help you with your project. We want to know what kind of projects you're working on, too.
Send us an email at info@myfixituplife.com.
Or share those projects and questions on Facebook at My Fix It Up Life.
And on Twitter at My Fix It Up Life.
See a theme there? Check out our videos on YouTube and on Blip TV.
See what we're pinning on Pinterest.
Download our free My Fix It Up Life app for iPhone, iPad, and Android.
And listen to all of our 100-plus My Fix It Up Life talk episodes on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio.
And don't forget to check us out next week for more home improvement fun
on My Fix It Up Life.
Dress walking up to me. You might be sunrise in a sky blue sea. You might be the holder of my front door key at night. I'd like to wait and see. Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. Just a simple love of you. But what do I say to you?
might be grandkids running at my feet. You might be a best friend aging gracefully. You might be a lifelong love filled guarantee. And I'm so glad that we sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. Fix it up life. This is my fix it up life.